Good morning. Is it hot enough for you? Isn't this something? Today, they're saying the heat indices will be 115 before the day is over. So this is a day when you want to just stay in and stay quiet. We won't talk about you, but thank you for not staying in and having us a few faces that we might share with as well as with those who are online joining us, and we welcome you, especially those of you who are online to be with us. I'm going to be spending the day, and if you didn't get the sermon handout as you came in, please raise your hand right now. All right, ushers, keep your hand held high so that they can see you, and perhaps we can get more than one usher. But yes, there we go. The Beast of Revelation 13. Thank you. Wonderful picture you have up there. Well done. Thank you so very much. That picture. Today will be more like a Bible study, which is my favorite kind of, quote, preaching. More of a teaching than a preaching session with us today, and that's to my liking. Let me just review a bit before we get into this. There is a drama. There is a drama developing. The book of Revelation is unfolding the drama. Remember, we have said this is the one book in the Bible where the presenter is Jesus himself and makes the book unique. In the other books, God uses prophets or people of goodwill, and the Holy Spirit moves upon them, and they write a book in the Bible. Moses, Paul, and the like. But in Revelation, which is the summary book, in fact, there is some part of every book of the Bible in Revelation. And so every part of the book of Revelation grabs together, listen to me, the message of the Bible, and focuses it, my brother, on Jesus, on Christ. Solid rock I stand, all other ground, come on, folk, sinking sand. So the book is special, and it highlights, Ken, this tension that has been developing between Christ and Satan, Cecil, that goes back to the Garden of Eden. You recall the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. And the devil begins with causing man to question the word of God. Is anybody listening? Revelation now, God's going to put the seal on it. In so doing, Sister O'Neill, the snake, the serpent, must be fully revealed. You're turning in your Bible to Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation 12. Let's just pick up again in doing our little homework. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out. Do you see it, saints? That serpent of old. Notice, that serpent of old. The Bible takes you immediately back to Genesis 3. That serpent of old, called what? And Satan. So, Carl, we have it now. In Revelation, the devil is fully exposed. He's the serpent. He's Satan. He's the dragon. He's the dragon. And we found out in Revelation 12 that the dragon is angry with the woman, and the woman is who? The church. That's us. Goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the last day church. That's really us. Revelation 13 will expose the devil and his methodologies. Revelation 14, the response of the church. Revelation 15, the warning to the church. 16, the plague. 17, the fall of Babylon at 18. 19, the triumph of Jesus. 20, the millennium. 21, the coming of Jesus, the great glory that God is going to give us, the new heavens and new earth, and Revelation 22. And the book ends with the appeal, whosoever will, let him come. Do you see it? Now, in Revelation 13, as the methodologies of Satan are exposed, we get this picture. Let's read it again. And the Garcia brothers did an excellent job. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, there he is, and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear. Now my mind is stirring. Now my mind is stirring. And the mouth is like the mouth of a lion. Where have I seen the bear and the lion and the leopard before, Brother O'Neill? Where have I seen them? Daniel 7. So you're going there. Daniel 7. You're turning your Bible to Daniel 7. Because you're going to see something now very amazing. And you're going to see why Ellen White says the books of Daniel and Revelation are one book and should be studied as one. We will see it today. Keep your finger in Revelation 13. We're identifying now the beast. And you're going to Daniel where? Daniel 7. Daniel 7. And Daniel has this tremendous vision. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel 2, verse 2. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The four winds of heaven, remember we've learned that the winds are strife. The sea is people. Water is people in prophecy. Just keep going. And the four great beasts came, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, which each different from the other. And the first was like a? Talk to me, folks. The first was like a? Now go back to Revelation 13. Description of this beast. And this beast had a mouth like a lion. Okay, go back to Revelation 7. Come on, get your wrists loosened up here. Back and forth, back and forth. It had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A man's heart was given to it. Verse 5. And suddenly another beast, second like a. Go back to Revelation 13 and verse 2. And the description of this beast is that it had the feet like a bear. All right, go back to Revelation 7. It was, Daniel 7. Thank you. Somebody's helping me. Somebody's listening. God bless you, whoever that is. Somebody's listening. Woo! My, my, my. And suddenly another like a bear, it was raised up on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard. That's Daniel 7, verse 6. Go back to Revelation 13, verse 2. It had this beast there, was like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. So all three beasts thus far in Daniel 7 appear in this beast in Revelation 13. Does everybody see that? But the similarities are even more, you will see. Because verse 7, Daniel 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had what? It had what? Go back to Revelation 13. And the beast in Revelation 13, verse 1, has how many horns? 10 horns. 10 horns. 10 horns. Sounds to me, Elder O'Neill, like there's some similarities going on here. Sounds to me like the beast in Revelation 13 seems to be a composite of the four beasts in Daniel 7. Does that make sense to you? Do you see that? But the similarities are greater than that. Let's go on and look at Revelation 13 before we go back to Revelation 7. And let's see some other things. Verse 13, one of his heads was wounded. Revelation 13 was wounded. Verse 4, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So this beast in Revelation 13 is connected to the dragon. The dragon is who? Yeah, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call him. Pick any name. It's the bad guy. It's the main dude against you. That's him. This beast in Revelation 13 is pushed, powered by Satan. To do what? Well, verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. It was given authority to continue for 42 months. We'll get back to that. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted him to make what? With the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Go back to Daniel 7. Go back to Daniel 7. And let's see what we see. As Daniel 7 develops, this fourth beast becomes quite a character. We find out, in fact, in verse 17 of Daniel 7, these great beasts, which are for what? Kings. Keep up with me, folks. Which arise out of there. So the four beasts in Daniel 7 are for what? Kingdoms. 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 Now. If you take... Listen, if you take Daniel 7 and compare it with Daniel 2, then you have the cycle of the nations. Because Daniel 2, Cecil, makes it clear that that head of gold was Babylon. Remember that? And the chest of silver was Persia, and the belly of brass was Greece, and the legs were Rome. The same cycle is repeated in Daniel 7, because the lion was the official symbol of Babylon, followed by the bear, which represents the official animal of Persia, was Persia, and then the leopard, representing the speed with which Alexander the Great conquered the world, Greece, and Greece was conquered by Rome. Is everybody listening? Now let me pause right here and say this to you. The reason why every person in this room needs to remain calm, no matter what happens on this planet, is because God is in charge. Come on, y'all. God is in charge. Jeremiah says he sets up kings and he takes down kings. And he's so much in charge, he can tell you ahead of time who's going to win the election. And that's why pastors not worried. Whoever wins is God's choice. I didn't say God's favor. I said God's choice. Because God uses rulers for his purposes, not ours. Is everybody listening to the pastor? And so in Daniel and Revelation, we're finding out God has got the whole world in his hand. He's controlling everything. And so we can say exactly what's going to happen. Now, I'm getting carried away. Daniel 7. Daniel 7, stay right there. This fourth beast... Verse 23, shall be a fourth kingdom on earth. It shall be different from all the other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, trample and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings, and we know that Rome was divided into ten parts when it fell apart. And then it says in verse 25 that this power was given, power over the saints, shall be for time, times and a half times. That's the same as the 42 months. In Revelation 13, but his court shall be seated. They shall take away his dominion, consume it, and destroy forever. The kingdom of Then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. That is, God's people shall eventually win. What do you say? Now, this whole thing upsets Daniel. He can't believe that the Lord's going to let this happen to his people. And so, verse 8, I'm still in Daniel 7. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking great pompous words. Then verse 9. Do you see verse 9? All this trouble is coming on God's people, verse 8. And then verse 9, Daniel is taken to a vision in heaven. Taken where? In the midst of the trouble, Daniel is given a vision in heaven. Where? In the midst of the trouble, Daniel is given a vision in heaven. Where? In the midst of the trouble on earth, Daniel is given a vision in heaven. Is anybody listening to me? You see, folk, when trouble comes, where should your mind go? That God's in charge. And so, in Daniel 7, you can see it. He's shown God. He's shown the Son coming before God. He's shown in night vision the Son of Man coming, verse 13, coming before God. He has shown the whole plan of salvation. He has shown Daniel, even though there's trouble on earth, God is looking down from heaven. The Son of God is coming before him, and everything is going to be just fine. Just fine. Just fine. Well, let's go back to Revelation 13. Back to Revelation 13. Now we see that we have the same power at work, the same power taking charge, the same power still working against mankind. Then what's Revelation 13 all about? Well, the news is not good, but the news will end just fine. Revelation 13, here is what we see. Verse 7. It was granted him, this beast, to make war with who? And to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and people. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names are not where? Whose names are not where? So how do we overcome this beast? I want to hear a warmer word. How do we overcome the Lamb? By having what? I'm listening for a word. I'm looking for a word. How do you overcome the Lamb? By having what with Christ? Ha! Rick, bless you. A relationship with Jesus. Now, these things you name prayer and faith, that's how you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important, and this is very important for us as Seventh-day Adventist people. We put a lot of stress on doctrine, which I believe in, on Sabbath keeping, which I believe in, on obeying the law, which I believe in, on eating right, which I believe in, on drinking right, which I believe in, on not going to this place and that place, which I believe in, on not wearing this, that, and the other, and I believe in that. But the most important thing, beyond all these rules and regulations, is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The devil is a mess. See, look at Revelation 12. Look at Revelation 12. Go back there. Go back there. Revelation 12. Verse 9. So the dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who does what to the old world? He deceives them. He messes with your head. He keeps you confused. He causes you to be stressed out. He makes you think that God is not with you. This past week, my air conditioning went out. Hottest week of the year. And my air conditioning just go. I mean, I've just come back from vacation, great vacation, with the kids, grandkids, in the water, in the sand, kids all over my shoulders, having just a great fun. Come back home, and the Lord allows me to have one day of air conditioning. One day. You know what it is to walk in your house in the evening after you've been at the church working all day, visiting people and so forth, and you come in, and the house is the same temperature inside as it is outside, and outside it's 97. Can anybody feel my pain? I want you to feel my pain. I'm building you toward deception. Deception. And so, Carl, I start feeling sorry for myself. Working for the Lord, returning tithe faithfully, working for the saints of God, and Lord, you can't even keep my air conditioning running. I'm just being honest with you, folk. We're talking about deception. See, I said you have to have a relationship. And so, Cecil, I'm upset. Of course, I got warning on my home, so I call the warranty company. Guy comes out. Go back to with him at the air conditioner. Which, well, you know, I'm put some Freon in it. Fix the thing up. Reverend, I can't do a thing. You can't what? Can't do a thing. Your condenser coil is all stopped up. I don't know who put this mess together. It's wired wrong. The same company sent a repairman a month before. And now that spirit, that's Henry Wright. I'm talking about deception. There's another spirit in me, folk, that is not Jesus. Henry Wright. I said, aren't you from the same company? Came here before? I can't say anything about that, Reverend. Anything about that. I'm telling you, this thing is done wrong. I said, what can you do for me today? They said, I can't do a thing. Said it just like that. I said, you can't what? Can't do a thing. So he calls the supervisor. The supervisor says, look, boils down to this, long story short, I have to have a whole new system. So, talking about deceive you. So I'm building towards something. So, I got to survive. So, I mean, I'm pledged to one thing. I take care of my wife. I'm going out, Home Depot, get one of these portable air conditioning things. Takes a scientist to put that thing together. Bring the thing home. Weighs about 2 tons. Haul it upstairs. Get in the room. Now, I need a PhD in mechanics. Put this thing together. So I put it together, finally put it together. I'm determined to put that thing together. Carol's watching me. I got to put it together. I'm the man of the house. Put that thing together, plug it in, cool air coming out, boom, all the lights go off. You can't make this stuff up. This is real. I said, Lord, I got to put this in my sermon because I'm going to spend a little time talking about deception. Deception. So now I'm really upset. Go down there, turn the breakers back on, hit it again, cool air coming out, about 5 minutes, boom, everything goes off again. I realize the thing will not too much power for my house, so I got to put that thing back together, Rick, put it back in the box, order it back down the steps, go back to Lowe's, get myself a window unit. Now, when I'm driving back, really fussing at God now, the Lord said, you remember them people over there in Piney Branch? The Lord will put you in your place in a hot second. They ain't got no home, hot or cold. They have no clothes. They have no food. Their personal papers are destroyed. They've lost loved ones, and you're complaining about some heat. Dunbar, it was like a peace. Folks, you can't make this up. Like a peace came over me. I got to smiling. It's okay. Whatever goes, Lord, I'm going to be fine. Went and got my little window air conditioner, brought it back home, put it together. Needed a PhD to put that together, too. Put it together, put it in the window, turned it on. We've had cool air ever since in the bedroom. Now, the rest of the house feels just feels like fire and brimstone. Deception. Satan tried to deceive me into thinking that God is unfair. Unkind. Have you been there? Somebody talk to me. Have you been there? Have you fought that battle? You know you have. And I'm telling you this story, ladies and gentlemen, because my little experience with air conditioning is minor, meager, compared to what the saints of God will go through in the last days. The Bible is clear. You're going to be given over to Him for a while, but the Lord has already promised there's no problem come to you, but those common demand. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to have a problem bigger than you're able to stand, but will, in the midst of that problem, make a way of escape so you can bear it. Somebody say amen out there. That's the reason why I'm not worried about the beast. I'm not worried about no beast. Because, Joy, there's nothing that's ever happened to you. Nothing that's ever happened to you that God did not know about, foresee, and allow, James Armstrong. You can't expect, you cannot expect to spend eternity with the Son of God who gave up all for you unless you're ready to give up all for Him. And so this beast, this terrible being, this force, now if you trace it down in Daniel 7, you recognize this beast winds up being the Roman system. Not just political, but religious system. Now notice, I'm very careful with my words. I didn't say that the beast was Catholics. I want to make that clear. Because the Catholic Church is full of Christian people who love the Lord. Let's make that clear. But there is a Roman system. There's a system of religion that seeks to replace God, that says it can answer prayers and give confession when the Bible tells us to give our confession only to Christ Himself. Are you listening to me? There is a system. There's a false system. And that false system will seek to devour and control. But because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have no reason to fear the system. The system is a deceiver. How dare we ever think that God would ever put more on us than we can bear? That would not be justice. And he's the master of justice. That would not be merciful. And he is also the God of mercy. Are you listening to me? And so in Revelation 13, this power is revealed that will manifest itself in the very last of days. He will seek to do the same thing that it was predicted for that strange beast in Daniel 7. It's the same beast. It's the same power. It's the same person. Daniel sees it, and then Revelation sees it. That's why Daniel is Revelation closed, and Revelation is Daniel opened up. So twice in Scripture, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, God wants us, the beast must be something very important because He wants you to know. He told you in the Old Testament, He brings it back in the New Testament. We need to know about the beast. I don't apologize for preaching about the beast. But the thing you need to understand is that the beast's greatest tool is deception. Deception. He deceives you. Listen to me, Seventh-day Adventist. He deceives you into thinking that you can go to heaven based on the number of Sabbaths you keep. Mercy. And the amount of tithe you return. And the amount of clean meats that you eat. Or by being a vegan, you're going to be saved. None of those things will save you. He's a deceiver. He makes you think that because you're Seventh-day Adventist, you're better than the Baptist. No. You're blessed to be a Seventh-day Adventist, but the Baptist Church is full of people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. He deceives you into thinking that some badge of righteousness will get you in, but we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He deceives you into thinking that there's something about you that God likes so much that He likes better than somebody else. But only by the mercy of God have you been called by Him. In fact, I declare to you that those called into this church are called into this church because they're the hardest people on the planet to save. So the Lord makes you a Seventh-day Adventist, so you surely can be saved. Stripped you of everything. Come on, somebody. You don't know where. You don't eat nothing. You don't drink nothing. He really cleaned you up. Why? Because you hard to save. Bring you in this church. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. My message to you is this, my dear sister, that the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what challenges you face, no matter what temptations are upon you, no matter what pressure the beast puts upon you, the Lord wants you to know that he and you together are able. You're able. And so this beast, before Revelation is over, will be taken care of. You know, Jeff Taylor, I thank God that the Lord who created the devil is the same Lord who's going to take him out. Reminds me of my father when I would get out of my place. Dad would tell me in a minute, I brought you in. Boy, I'll take you out. And that's the position that God has taken about the devil. I brought you in. Ultimately, I'll take you out. If you will declare with me by the grace of God that you will stand faithful. You will not live in fear of the beast. You know, in the Adventist church, we make a big deal out of the beast. He ain't nothing. Your relationship with Jesus is stronger than anything Satan can do. And so if you pledge with me that you will keep that relationship firm, stand with me right now. Stand with me right now. Our relationship, Kathy, our relationship is our victory over the beast. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Your relationship is your victory over the beast. Join hands together now, all across the aisle. Join hands together. Join hands together. Make sure you're touching somebody. Gene, I'm going to come over here with you and hold your hand. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Folk, we're going to make it. Dunbar, there's some rough days ahead. Some rough days ahead, man, but we're going to make it. You and I have known each other for years. We're going to the kingdom with our families. We've had our ups and our downs, but we're going in. Don't ever tell yourself you're not going to make it. That's an insult to the cross. The death of Jesus is sufficient to help you defeat the beast. What do you say, saints? Amen. Father God, we thank you so much. So much, so much for the good news of the word. Well, we've identified him. We know him now. We got him nailed in Daniel 7. We've got him exposed in Daniel 13. We know his tactics. Deception. We're now yoking with you. We're declaring today with those online who are in with us in this service. And I pray that you're standing in your living room or standing in your bedroom right now and declaring with us, going to make it. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. We're going to make it. We confess we've sometimes failed, as Henry Wright did this week, going through his minor trial and seeking to complain. Lord, forgive us. That relationship must be solid. It must see us through. The big stuff has not happened yet. If we can't stand with the footmen, how can we run with the horses? So help us, Lord. We declare today by standing, we believe, we're determined, we'll hold on. Maybe crawling on our knees, but we'll hold on by the grace of God. To this end we pray and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. God bless you. Are you glad you came to church this morning? God bless you. Revelation 13.
Powerful message. Amen, church? All right, stand with me, please. Hymn 327, I'd Rather Have Jesus.